Kayla Cabello, Bam Bam, 105.5 Hits FM, North Durham's hit music station, joined right now in the studio by two very special guests. We got Allie and we have Hesa here with us, Christensen, and they are authors, a mother-daughter duo, and I'm so excited to have you both in the studio. We've been chatting off the air and, you know, already talking about your dynamic, how you guys write together. And let's just talk about your book for one. I know it's a thriller. Do you mind telling us a little bit of the plot without, well, of course, spoilers?
First, thanks for having us.
Yes, oh, yeah, it's you. A pleasure.
We're really happy to be here.
Pleasure, yes.
Yeah, so the book is called Stealing John Hancock, and it's a literary thriller, so it's pretty fast-paced. And our protagonist is this guy in his 20s, J.P. Hancock, and he's actually from Port Perry. And he's sort of at a stage in his life where he hasn't really quite figured out what he's going to do with his life. And he's feeling a little directionless, a little lost, and a little bit like he hasn't really amounted to much. And he feels like his life's going pretty poorly. And then things get a whole lot worse when a cyber criminal uses a clever way of melding mortgage and identity frauds to essentially steal houses. And this is a real thing.
Oh, my gosh.
This actually happens.
We read a newspaper article that inspired us to pursue the story because it was about a similar scam.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. So this cyber criminal decides that better than just getting away with the crime and having the police, you know, looking for him for the rest of his life, that it's a better idea to assume someone else's identity and set that person up as the fall guy for the crime.
Okay.
And so he assumes JP's identity and sets him up as the fall guy.
Oh, my gosh. And the guy can't catch a break.
He's very successful, too, because the police really think that JP is the criminal.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
So the police are hot on his heels, and JP then teams up with a hacker to try and clear his name, and that's sort of the basic story that gets the book going.
And it starts in Port Perry, but it spans to Toronto and then New York and Barbados. It kind of has a broad scope.
Yeah. Yes. What made you decide to start it in Port Perry? Because I think it's going to be cool for readers to go, okay, I maybe recognize that, or I, you know, can pick up on this setting from what you're describing.
Well, I live in Uxbridge, but Hesa actually is technically in Port Perry, and we love both communities. And we thought that Port Perry would make an ideal scenario to start the book. And we actually note quite a few locations in Port Perry in the book.
Little nods to places that you like.
Yes. That's awesome. So people from here will definitely recognize a lot of places in the book.
That's really cool. I don't think I've ever read a fictional book about a place that I recognize. But even when I see, for example, like Toronto in movies, like big, big movies, I'm like, oh, this feels so cool because it's a piece of home. So I think that's a really neat aspect of it. Now, let's talk about what kind of compelled you guys to write together, because is this the first book that you guys have, you know, written together?
Well, it's actually the first novel, but we've been working in this screenplay area for mm-hmm. quite some time. And I had a career as a corporate writer and speechwriter, magazine and newspaper articles, things like that. And and I was actually trying to retire from that career, and I was branching out into screenplays. And
then she talked me into it. So she had already started on screenwriting, and I was sort of at I had just actually finished grad school in something totally unrelated, in environmental geography, and I used to do a lot of taekwondo, like an awful lot. Like I competed around the world in taekwondo.
What?
And I wanted to continue doing that. And I didn't really want to settle down and get a real job, but I needed to do something for focus.
Mm-hmm. And I said, hey, why don't we team up on this? Because it would be a lot of fun.
Yeah. And I said, I don't know anything about screenwriting. I have no idea.
I had a library of books. I mean, at that time, it was books. I have a whole library of screenwriting books. And I said, here, take these books.
Yes. So
does that mean this started as a screenplay?
Well, so it actually did, but we're going back 15 years to the start of our screenwriting career.
Okay.
But when we first had the idea for this story, we did begin it as a screenplay because it has a lot of visual potential to it.
Mm-hmm.
But then as we started pretty early on in the process, we realized that we wanted to write it as a novel. Like we just wanted to be able to explore the depth of theme and character that the novel format allows for. So really early on, we switched to writing this one as a novel.
Perfect. You looked like you wanted to say something.
I was going to say some of that.
She said it all. That's perfect. Okay, so that is very intriguing. And I know a lot of times those of us who really like film and those of us who really like books, it's interesting because my husband is like super into films. He's seen over 300 this year already. He's obsessed. And I'm super into books. And sometimes we'll say it seems like a book was made to be a movie or was written almost like a screenplay. But in your case, it was a was a screenplay, and you were like, no, we want to expand and make it a novel.
Yeah, well, we hadn't actually written the screenplay yet. We started laying out the outline for it as a screenplay. But to be honest, laying out the outline for a book is pretty similar to laying out the outline for a screenplay.
Which actually really helped us working together because we were extremely planned and we had an outline of the entire story. And then, you know, then we
fill
could
fill it in.
Yeah, then we could, and we could take parts and we could, you know, discuss them. And
yeah, that's one thing about writing with a partner, which I absolutely love writing with my mom. I think it's so much fun. But you need to spend more time on the initial phases where you're outlining the story because you need to make sure you guys have a shared vision for each scene, exactly what's going to happen. And then once you have a shared vision, you can work together a lot more easily.
Was it hard at all to work together? Like, you wanted something and maybe you didn't agree?
Oh, yeah, we battle it out.
No, she makes sense. I mean, actually, it was so much fun. I mean, I probably should admit to how much time we spend laughing while we're working together.
Well, writing can be a very lonely pursuit. Mm-hmm. And it really gives it a new fun dimension to be working together. And we have actually very similar ideas.
Yeah, so. But we do occasionally disagree. There definitely are disagreements.
And she's a better debater. So,
yeah. I am not. You went to law school. You're an amazing debater.
What? I'm learning so many things. Taekwondo, law school, like geography. I'm like, whoa, this is awesome. I feel like all of those things that you have, you know, all those life experiences you guys have accrued are just fodder, just awesome fodder for a book. So I'm glad you guys got together because it probably helped a lot to be able to draw on those experiences from both of you. I mean, I feel like when you try to write yourself, you're like, okay, what do I have to draw on? But together, it's like the possibilities are endless, which is good.
Yeah. Well, I think all writers are like everyone is always drawing on life experience for everything. And it kind of, to be honest, I don't think it really matters what that life experience is because everybody has a story to tell.
Absolutely.
And people that they can draw on for characteristics.
Yes, it's very dangerous being friends with a writer because you never know when they're studying you.
Yeah, these are works of fiction. So the book has already been translated into Braille, which is incredible, by the way. And it's currently, as you said before we got on the air, as we speak, being translated into Italian.
Yes.
So what does it mean to you guys to have like your work being accessible to more and more people like that?
Oh, we're so excited about it.
It is just really fulfilling and so much of an honor to have been chosen to be translated into Braille. Was just amazing.
Yeah, not very many books get translated into Braille.
I know, so I was going to say.
Yeah, we're very excited about it. Yeah.
And the Italian, I'm half Italian, so that's an added bonus. One of our characters is actually from Italy.
Yeah. She's Italian-Canadian.
That's perfect.
So this is a nice connection.
Well, with the Braille, I wonder if part of it is, you know, being it so visually inspired, being originally as like in your minds going to be or not, maybe not going to be, but thought of as a screenplay and then turning into a novel. That's so interesting. So do you know what made them go, this is something that we want to translate into Braille?
So I actually don't know because all of the contact on that was through our publisher, Turnstone Press, which is an amazing publisher.
It's like out of Winnipeg.
Winnipeg. There's some great publishers in Canada. So they were the ones that were relating on that front. So we just heard about it. Like we didn't.
And we were amazed and so excited.
Yeah. That's a huge honor. I would love to know. I'd be picking their brain about that one.
Yeah, I'd love to find out too.
Yeah, we'll have to ask after this. But let's talk about your event. You're launching the book during the Book Drunkard Festival, which shout out to Blue Heron Books. I absolutely love Blue Heron. We were talking off the air about them and Shelly
and the whole team.
Yeah, they're amazing. Yeah.
Just giant shout out. We love them. But how can people learn more about your specific event? Like what day is it happening? What time is it happening?
Okay, it's this coming Sunday at the Blue Heron Studio, which is behind the bookstore, at 1 o'clock.
Yeah, and it's a free event, and everybody's welcome to come out. Yeah. You don't need to sign up for it or anything. And we'll be doing a reading from the book, and there's a little roundtable discussion, and
It was wonderful to be included in the Book Drunkard Literary Festival.
Oh, yeah, we are so lucky to have a festival of that caliber here. Yeah. I mean,
like, and a bookstore like that bookstore.
I mean, it's like number one independent bookstore in Canada. Come on. We're so, like, I could just go on and on. We love you, Shelley. We love you, Janet. All of the ladies there, thank you so much for everything you do for our community. And thank you both for being on. It has been so awesome getting to pick your brains. And I honestly wish I could talk to you for like another hour, because even the time we got off the air and on the air, I'm intrigued. And I cannot wait to read your book and learn more and hear more from you two. Before we go, do you have any more plans to write together? Are you working on something else now?
We're working on a novel that's actually set in just north of Uxbridge.
Okay, in Leesdale?
It's actually just south of Leesdale, but kind of in between Uxbridge and Leesdale.
What is in between Uxbridge and Leesdale?
A farm.
You'd be surprised.
Okay, I am so ready. Thank you so much for giving me that little piece, that information.
We love the community.
That's a special tidbit that we got exclusive. Hesa, Ali, thank you so much for taking your time to talk to us today. We can't wait for the book.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you so much. The commute.